Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Special treat for you at 8:20. You know, when Sean is out, we generally like to play games. And we're going to play How Young is Peyton Russell?
28. Oh, that's everybody's favorite game.
Yeah.
It's funny to watch him spiral.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And he has a chance to win money.
And then he gets money. Like, it's a benefit because it's one of those things where it's not just mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Because for everything he gets right, he takes money from me.
Yeah.
And everybody loves seeing me lose money.
Bobby loves spending money. Bobby loves losing money. And Bobby's going to lose money to Peyton because Peyton always has a chance to do double or nothing at the end and ask me a question. And I get to answer for him. And I am, you can't go hard enough on me. There we go. So it's Sean and RJ on the Fam. Let's go a little around the NFL, shall we? And,
we shall.
You know, there's, you got Hassan Reddick, a poison pill from the Philadelphia Eagles. You've got Devontae Adams, news with him. You've got Travis Kelce and Tate that we just can't escape. We can't escape those two.
Nope.
But we have not discussed it at all today. It is the big news for us this week. It was still the Jerry interview that we had on Tuesday. And one show hadn't really brought it up yet. Fine, happens, whatever. And that was the great Pat McAfee show. Now, I like the Pat McAfee. I enjoy the Pat McAfee show. I think it's they get it. They get radio. They get entertainment. And there's just a million guys. There's just a million people on there. So yesterday they had J.J. Watt on there. And they had Jage on there. And this is they decided to dive into the topic. And of course, Pat continues to get Sean's name wrong.
Sean.
But you do get pummeled at home on Jerry Jones' birthday. That is a very tough one to take. And clearly tensions are rising down there. So
what do you mean?
You know how that goes.
What do you mean tensions are rising? What do you mean?
I mean, I saw the radio host thing. You know how it is.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard that before. Sean and RJ. Who do they work for?
I don't know.
Do they work for Jerry?
I think so.
Is Jerry the boss down there? Does Jerry own the radio station?
Was it Odyssey or something?
He owns
like
Dallas.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He sounds like.
I do appreciate he said, this ain't what I signed up for.
Yeah.
Just get you two the out of here.
Yeah.
Quickly. And they go, He goes, you think I'm joking? That's funny.
I ain't joking.
I turned 82. I'm never going to be able to do that again.
Shannon.
Hey, at least you got it straight with Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick was wise enough not even to try and say the name on Tuesday.
John?
Yeah, when he talked about it. Then you let them know, and then he, like a professional broadcaster, was then comfortable enough to say. But before, he just said the show on 105.3, because I think he looked at it and was like, I do not know how to say that name.
So, yeah, because they said, how do you want to be introduced? And I said, just RJ from the Fan. I should have said Lord Choppy.
You should have said just introduce me as RJ Choppy from RJ and Sean.
Or the RJ and Choppy show. And I said, by the way, his name is pronounced Sean, like S-H-A-W-N. He should just really just throw a U or a W in there.
He should, just as a radio name.
Just as a radio name. That's it. He really should. But I think it's funnier when he doesn't, because Shannon RJ, as McAfee said in that Pittsburghese voice.
It turns into an entire other bit that we get to dip into. So there's some benefit to it. I still appreciate it. And I still think it's hilarious that you think there's any sort of difference between how to pronounce his name and how to pronounce the way it's spelled when it's
Sean and Sean,
which is literally the same pronunciation both times. Hey, real quick, cut the music, Peyton. Choppy's going to say the two differences. We haven't asked Caitlin this yet. See if Caitlin can tell a difference. Go ahead and say his name the two different ways.
Sean and Sean.
Were those different? No.
She's working back here.
she's hard at work.
6:40 on Thursdays.
6:40 on Thursdays. That whole room, 6:40 just goes to waste.
Setting up the whole thing.
What is the Hassan Reddick poison pill?
Okay, so this is, I hate whenever anybody tries to go, oh, that genius Howie. Because most of the time I feel like Howie's getting way too much credit. Way too much. He's a really good personnel man.
Uh-huh.
Really good front office guy. But he's not some untouchable god figure like people like to make him out to be. But this is pretty good. The Jets might lose a second round pick if they trade Hassan Reddick to basically half the league. More than half the league, because the Jets are in the AFC. What team could use a pass rusher most right now in the NFL? Who are we talking about as a contender that just is dying for a pass rusher?
By Detroit.
Detroit, yeah. They lost their only guy who could consistently get pass rush. They're a Super Bowl contender. Well, guess what? If they decide to do that, the New York Jets will have to send a second round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Jets are open to trading Hassan Reddick. This is from CBS Sports. There's one major detail that's throwing a wrench into things. The Jets can't easily trade him to an NFC team. According to Josina Anderson, if the Jets decided to ship Reddick off to an NFC team, they'd also have to send a 2026 second round pick to the Eagles. That was a stipulation that Howie Roseman had put back in the trade, like had put in the trade detail. Is right, but if you guys decide to move on from, which that should have been the first sign to Joe Douglas that maybe everything's not right here if he assumes we're going to want to trade him this quickly. Yeah. But when the Jets originally made the trade for Reddick back in March, they sent a conditional 2026 third-round pick to the Eagles that would become a 2026 second-rounder if Reddick recorded 10 sacks or was on the field for 67.5% of the Jets' plays. At this point, it's pretty clear that Reddick is not going to hit those conditions, but the Eagles still have a chance to see the second or the third-rounder bumped up to the second-rounder if they trade him to an NFC team. So that escalates up.
So it's not an additional second-rounder?
No, it's an escalator.
Okay, so they're already on the hook for a third.
Mm-hmm.
So this would just be bumping that. Okay, that changes it a little bit.
That's second and third round pick is pretty significant.
It is
value drop.
It is significant. But if it's not like it was a hey, here's a third, and then if we trade on an NFC team in the year now, we have to also give you a second.
Oh yeah, this is not quite on the level of the Herschel Walker trade.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely not on that level, but I don't know if a lot of people know. I think when they hear about the Herschel Walker trade, they think it was, okay, it was
Herschel for 10 first Herschel rounders.
It was not that.
No, it was a bunch of players.
It was Herschel for a couple picks and a bunch of players, and there were all these conditions on the players. Like, if we cut this player, we get your second rounder this year. If we cut this player, we get your third rounder this year. And Minnesota just did not believe Jimmy would cut all of them, and Jimmy cut all of them. Other than two or three guys, I think he kept. He kept a couple linebackers. He kept Isaac Holt. And because they wanted to keep those, Jerry and Jimmy went back and reworked another deal. Like, hey, we kind of want to keep these players, but we'd still like some picks. And they like fleeced Minnesota twice, technically, because they went back and worked out another deal where they could still get draft picks and keep those guys, which is ridiculous.
Wow.
But that was the whole setup then. So it's not quite that, but this is a pretty heady play.
If
you trade him to an NFC team, this also bumps up.
Well, this now would, if you're the Jets, if let's say you're how desperate Detroit is, you could increase the compensation. You could be like, hey, look, we'll give this guy to you. We're going to need, we'll need a second and a third. Or we'll need a second. Or we'll need a third to fourth.
Right, but
and Detroit may be desperate enough to say yes.
Right, but it still complicates things regardless.
Yeah, right.
Because either way, now the Jets not only are having to trade a malcontent pass rusher, they're having to say, hey, you might need to pay us like above market value because we're going to have to give up this pick and we don't want to do that. I mean, that's an old Jets team. Like, that's the problem. Think about how old and expensive they are right now. And you're telling that is a critical blow. That would be similar to something that would happen right now to Dallas. Could you imagine if that Trey Lance pick, Chop, if they had traded that fourth rounder for Trey Lance?
Yep.
And there was a stipulation in there that the Cowboys agreed to that said, if you trade Trey Lance to an NFC team, it now becomes a third.
Well,
we would lose our minds.
We would lose our minds. Now, I'll tell you this. I do love that this is in there because, you know, I thought the Cowboys should absolutely call the Jets about Hassan Reddick, not to trade for him, but to raise the price. You know, to be an extra team in there just to throw things up against the wall to raise the price in Detroit. Because I think Detroit's going to get him. They or at least before this poison pill thing came out. I thought they were going to be the one to get him.
It made the most sense. Yeah, and it made the most sense of just got to go out there. This is a critical window for Detroit, and they've shown they're aggressive and that they're willing to go get it.
It really is critical. There's no doubt about that one. Davante Adams, they're talking about he is going to be expecting him to play this week for the Steelers.
He's been hurt, right?
He's been acting hurt. But acting hurt and being hurt apparently are two different things because he's going to be ready for this game. But he was like, nah, I can't play it. If he was with the Raiders, he wouldn't be playing. I mean, I'm glad the Cowboys didn't trade for this dude.
No, he's toxic.
Oh,
he is awful. And look, you're willing to gamble on toxic when you're in a desperate Hail Mary. The Jets are what, 2-4?
Yeah, I think so.
They are closer, I think, to being 4-2 than the Cowboys are at 3-3. Like, it's a team that's closer to having a winning record than even the Cowboys, who are currently at 3-3. So I get it. You're desperate. You feel like, man, we're floundering. Hail Mary attempt. We've already invested so much in Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith and Aaron Rodgers. What's one more to see if this thing will work? And so I don't totally blame them for being desperate like that and feeling like this is a connection with Rodgers that'll pay off for them. And he's still a good receiver. It's just, it's very short-sighted. It better work in this near term.
Work. It better, boy, that's a great way to put it. It better work. What do you got on Travis Kelce?
Okay, so Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are just, they've become too much for everybody.
They are.
We talked about this, we talked about last segment, the guitar smash that sold for extra because people were just so glad that that Taylor Swift's guitar like destroyed.
Smashed,
people are so unhappy with her that they liked the added value there. Well, this one's over. The other day, Travis Kelce was at the playoff game for the Yankees and Cleveland Guardians. He was there with Taylor Swift. She's a Yankees fan. He's obviously a fan of
the Guards.
The Deans, as we call them, because either way, whatever their name's been, consistently they've been the Deans. And he is facing some backlash because he's obviously from Cleveland, New Heights. That's what
the name is. Cleveland Heights, Ohio.
He showed up very Peyton Russell-like, not in his team's gear. Didn't show up in team gear. Looked very stoic for the game. Not up there cheering and going nuts for Cleveland.
Soto hits a home run and he's smiling, getting backlash, facing backlash from the Guards fans. A
lot of hate for this one. So the question right here is Travis Kelce a sellout? Is he putting it on a pedestal, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. The answer to this is no. Because he said on his podcast, we're just having fun. And this is the issue, right? If you're a diehard fan, like you're one of these rabid diehard fans, and you go to the game with your girl, and she's not a diehard fan, and let's just assume it's still early-ish in the relationship, can you really show her that side of you that at that point? Do you want to?
I mean, he's a competitor. She's seen him on the football field. But you would think she knows this already.
But the other side of this also is, what if you're the diehard fan, but she's a fan of the other team?
Yeah.
Remember Patrick Mahomes in that...
this is what Peyton did.
Yeah. But there was that kid. Like, it was a kid. It was a former teammate of his.
Those three kids.
Yeah. Garrett Dieter.
Mm-hmm.
He was a wide receiver in the league. I think he played at SMU. But
sounds like a Wish version of Derek Jeter.
It does. But he was, you know, Mahomes was in the box with him during the Royals game. Mahomes gets in his face. Yeah, that's right. We tied the game. Yeah, mofo. We tied the game. And it's like, oh, back off, man. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you can't go that hard on your girl when she's a fan of the other team.
I get that. But I mean, you think she's like this? You think she knows all about the like she's like, boy, I went through the Ricky Lede years. This is so good.
I think they won titles for Ricky Lede.
Yeah, but it was still Ricky Lede.
I think they're pretty good.
Luis Soho.
I think they're pretty good during Ricky Lede's time. Boy, yeah, they were. You know, do you think he lived through the Mickey Mantle years?
Oh yeah, Mickey Mantle and Ricky Lede, the same dude.
All right, there we go. A little around the NFL.
Scott Brocious.
One of my favorite segments is next. How young is Peyton Russell? We get into that coming up next year on 105.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. Sean is out after his snip yesterday. I'm told he's doing okay. We are going to get into how young is Peyton Russell here in a second. I want to remind you, tomorrow, it's a Friday, myself and Robert Montgomery Belt and Eric Chiafalo will join the show at Firehouse Number 3 in Denton. We are doing the Firehouse Tour. Rolls on 1401 Underwood Street in Denton. Firehouse Number 3. Come on out there. We're going to have insulated cooler giveaway, Bobby. Sean and RJ, insulated coolers. We're going to give those away. We're going to have some food out there. Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp is a sponsor. It's fantastic. Let's go. We are going to have a little Firehouse Tour for you.
But first, Chop.
Yeah.
It's time for everybody's favorite game show. As you can see, Peyton Russell and I have switched places if you're watching on the Twitch or YouTube on the Dallas Fan Cam. Mm-hmm. And we've switched places so that we can play How Young is Peyton Russell? So if you haven't heard this game before, the object of the game is really simple. So we try to figure out if Peyton Russell actually knows significant cultural figures from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Peyton is how old?
I'm 28 now. Woo. Can you even say how young am I? I'm getting old, right? Man, 30 is the downfall, there, isn't it? 30 is downfall.
You made it past the 27 club. Good for you. Peyton will get six names that he has to identify. He will pick a decade, 70s, 80s, or 90s. RJ will then pick a category. So it's sports, entertainment, and society. And then Peyton will pick a subcategory based off of those. And then we just throw the name out. Peyton tells us if he knows who it is or not. For every answer Peyton gets right, I'm going to give him $20 in like 6 weeks. It'll take a little time. Got to get some funds in order.
It's a fourth of my paycheck, so you know what? I'll take
there
it.
There you go.
Jerry kind of cut off the cash flow, so it's going to take me a little while to get the money together. But I'm going to give him $20 for every answer he gets right. So he can make as much as 120 or as little as zero.
Okay, let's go. Let's do it.
Peyton, you ready?
I'm always ready, but I hate doing this. I always regret life after doing it. It just makes me feel so stupid. But you know what? It. People laugh at it. Let's do it.
70s, 80s, like or like 90s, that. Peyton?
We'll go 80s.
Oh, he's going 80s. With 80s, Chop. Okay. Chop, you want sports, society, or entertainment?
Let's start him off on an easy one. Society.
Oh, great.
Oh, society. There we go. All right, Peyton, do you want crime, politics, or miscellaneous?
What is election year? So let's go. Let's go politics.
Ooh!
Come on.
Peyton Russell.
I think I know where you're going on this one, too.
Peyton Russell. Who is Tip O'Neill?
That's the guy!
No!
That's who I was going to guess!
This guy, what was his name?
Tip O'Neill. Who said it's a he?
Yeah. Oh. Tippo. We're naming our guys Tippo. Well, he obviously...
Tippo. He thinks his name is Tippo. Tippo. Tippo Neal.
He obviously didn't win the election. I'm going to go, he's a state senate for New York. New York.
He may have been from New York.
He sounds like a Northeast guy.
His name is, by the way, it's not Tippo, it's Tip. And then his last name is O'Neill, Shaquille O'Neill.
Well, not Tippo.
But very, very close there. Yes. Choppy, would you like to tell him who Tip O'Neill is?
I believe he was the Speaker of the House during the Reagan administration.
He was from the party of or from the state of Massachusetts. So $20 is off the board for Peyton Russell, as is 80s politicians. Peyton, where are we going next? 70s, 80s, or 90s?
Let's go 90s. Let's get a win here.
All right, 90s. Where do you want to go with the chop? Sports, society, or entertainment?
Entertainment.
Dang it.
Ooh, okay. Peyton, music, movies, or TV?
We'll go TV.
TV it is. Peyton Russell. Who is Jaleel White?
Is that Sean White's wife? I don't know. Jaleel White.
It's
an actress for, I believe it's a rom-com. I think
rom-com?
Which one?
I keep going on this route.
Man, was this a... You know what? I'll just go Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Great rom-com.
Yeah. Known for...
Yeah. Did I get it right?
Right. Yeah, I remember George Lane Kramer and Jaleel.
Nope. Jaleel White. Did I do that? Jaleel White was Urkel.
Urkel. Well, okay. I knew Urkel, but...
That's fine. Unexpectedly, Peyton Russell is 0 for 2 and has already lost $40 that inevitably Chop may have to win back for him at the end of the game.
All right, Caitlin, I'm standing. I can get serious.
He's standing up. Okay. All right, we're playing How Young is Peyton Russell here on 105 Through the Fan. Peyton, 70s, 80s, or 90s?
70s.
All right. Sports, society, or entertainment, Chop?
70s. We could go sports on the 70s
for
him.
70s sports.
All right. Peyton, MLB, NFL, or NBA?
MLB.
Okay.
MLB it is. Peyton Russell. Who is Carlton Fisk?
I know this. Pitcher for National League.
It is amazing how far off you have been on every one of these answers.
Well, he's close here. He's
close.
I mean,
just go. I don't know the position.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know.
You don't know. All right.
It's pretty much the exact opposite. He was an American League catcher.
He did play against the National League in the World Series.
Yeah, dang it. I knew the name.
So, you seen the home run where he's doing this?
He pushed it fair. That's
for the Red Sox?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. That's the guy, Carlton Fisk.
But you didn't
know. And then I think he played for the White Sox at the end of his career.
Dang it.
That's
was
okay.
A dumb run.
You got $60. You can still win. You've lost 60, but there's still 60 on the table. Peyton,
this is amazing.
You want 70s, 80s, or 90s?
Let's go back to, let's go 80s.
Right. 80s. Sports, society, or entertainment, Chop?
Entertainment.
All right. Entertainment. Peyton, they're all on the board there for you. Music, movies, or TV?
Music.
Music it is. Peyton, who is Sting?
They were a rock band. Sting. Is that Kiss? Was he on Kiss? Sting. No idea. No idea. Dang it.
No. Who's Sting, Chop?
Sting was, he sang Roxanne.
Roxanne. He was the lead singer of the Police.
Yeah.
I knew that one.
A lot of bands, a guy. Oh. I don't know what his real name is.
Sting.
It might be his real name.
That was just his name.
You don't see many people just go by one name anymore. Maybe Lord. Lord was the one.
Yeah. That's probably the most recent one we've seen. All right, Peyton, you're 0 for 4. Let's see if you can salvage this at all. We're doing How Young is Peyton Russell here on 105 Through the Fan. Peyton, 70s, 80s, or 90s?
70s.
All right, sports, society, or entertainment?
Let's go society.
All right, society. Peyton, do you want crime, politics, or miscellaneous?
Miscellaneous.
I'm so glad you said that. Mm. Peyton Russell, who is Dear Abby?
It's those letters and stuff for those articles. Dear Abby, my wife did this, and then I have this issue with this other person. I've read them before. RJ has sent them. I'm glad you picked that
That's
one.
That's fantastic.
I'm very impressed.
I read RJ's emails every once in a while.
Look at that. All right. We salvaged $20. We got one more here. One more for How Young is Peyton Russell. Unless maybe there's a surprise in here. Peyton, 70s, 80s, or 90s?
80s. We'll go 80s.
All right. Sports, society, or entertainment, Chop?
Let's go society.
Ugh. All right. You've already done politics, Peyton. Okay. When you didn't know who Tippo was.
No.
It's a weird name. Crime or miscellaneous?
Let's go crime.
All right. Peyton Russell.
O.J. Simpson.
That's not the 80s.
Oh, 90s.
No, that's 80s sports and 90s crime.
Okay.
Peyton, who is Pablo Escobar?
He was a drug dealer for South America country.
It's not a team.
Yeah. Pablo Escobar was cartel guy.
Yeah. We'll give it to you.
Okay. I'm giving it to him.
He had hippos.
He doesn't have to know all the details.
Narcos.
All right.
Great TV show.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of time here before we got to wrap up. All right, you won $40. Congratulations. You saved it.
Oh, boy.
Now let's see how big of a gambler you are. You can double your money. You can get $80 out of this, or you lose all of it and you get nothing. I'm going to give a name. If you want to play this game, Peyton, I'm going to give a name to Choppy. He does not get to choose the category, the decade, nothing else. I'm just going to throw a name out and see if Choppy knows who it is. And if he gets it right, then you win $80. If he gets it wrong, you get nothing. Caitlin doesn't think you should do it.
Well, Caitlin's not in here. I got to ask RJ.
That's right. Caitlin's not in here.
Just kidding, Caitlin. All right, RJ, are you locked in? This is serious.
I'm pretty locked in. I mean, I know a lot of these. He could fire some rando out there.
I think you're 2 for 2, though, because I've thrown it your way twice, I think.
At least 2 for 2. At least 2 for 2 on this one.
$40 win, or do I double it for 80 and take my girlfriend out for a nice...
I do have dementia in the family, though. I want you to be aware of that. So I don't know.
You know what? I trust you today.
Okay.
It's Thursday. Let's go. Let's double our money. Come on.
I'll even turn the headset up so
you can
hear it
better. All right. Here we go. And Choppy, I'll even give you the... No, I'm not going to do that. Never mind. I was going to give you a hand, but you've gotten it right every time, so no need to. RJ Choppy, who is Bobby Darin?
Bobby Darin is a singer from the yesteryear. I believe he sang... Did he sing Mac the Knife? That's right.
No! That's right. RJ did it again.
Did it again, baby.
How has Choppy won more money on this show than Peyton?
Because like he was born 70 years before me. This guy watched Carlton Fisk play.
This is a Jeopardy. You know what Carlton Fisk played into the 90s, Peyton. Right? He played for quite a long time. There you go. Peyton Russell wins $80 just as soon as Jerry's check clears.
There we go. Well done, Russell.
We did it again.
That's right. That is right. We have a huge, huge 9 o'clock hour coming up. Got John Morosi going to go into all the baseball. Craig Way, voice of the Texas Longhorns. They got a huge game against Georgia this weekend. You can hear that game on our sister station, 1080 AM, KRLD, Horns, Georgia, Saturday night, 6:30 on the kickoff. But Bobby, what is coming up next in Below the Belt?
As bad as you think Ezekiel Elliott has been, I guarantee you it's worse than you even thought. Next on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
The Ezekiel Elliott signing was bad. But it's so much worse than you probably would have guessed. Or maybe not. More on that in just a second. First, Below the Belt is presented by A Number One Air. You know, we were talking about the Jets earlier, Chop, and how they're kind of a mess right now. They fired Robert Saleh. That's one of the reasons, you know, all that turmoil that was there. That's one of the reasons that led to his firing. And they put Jeff Ulbrich in place. And I wanted to play this clip because I've been meaning to bring it out this week. But I mentioned it last night when I was doing Cowboys Crosstalk with Joe Looney. Was Jeff Ulbrich played in the NFL. He's now the interim head coach there for the Jets. And by all accounts, people love him. They're like, he's so awesome. He connects with players. He's great. He's a former player. He spent 10 years in the NFL playing with the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. Former third round pick. And this was a really cool clip, I thought, from Jeff Ulbrich last week, talking ahead of the game that they were about to play on Monday Night Football against the Bills. And he was asked about, hey, you know, you're coaching now.
Yeah.
Did you always, or were you one of these players who always wanted to be a coach? Like, you got into the game, you're like, man, as soon as I get out of the game, I want to coach. And he gave what I thought was a fantastic answer about his evolution to wanting to become a head coach. I thought it was a really cool story. I wanted to play it.
Yeah, it was really late in my career, because I remember early in my career saying, why would I want to do that? You know, you'd look at coaches' faces by the end of the week and be like, has he slept? You know, and I was like, that's craziness. And later in my career, year 7 or 8, wherever it was, we had drafted Patrick Willis. And safe to say, I didn't beat him out. So I became the backup. And in doing so, I spent a lot of time with him. And we watched a lot of tape together. We did a lot of extra on the field. And I still remember it was just like yesterday. We're playing the Cardinals, and I'm on the sideline looking on. At that point in my career, I was a four-course special teamer and the supporter of Patrick Willis is what I was, and the probably the assistant coach to Patrick Willis. And I remember he makes a play in the Cardinals game, and he snaps his eyes to me, and I look at him, and I was like, and it was something we had worked on and focused on that particular week, and I was like, that felt better than any play I've ever made for myself. you know, and it was like, I'm hooked.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I gotta say, I don't like him. I was just doing some getting ready for the show, and Sarah said, "Oh, that's a daddy."
Yeah, he definitely looks like
he's a good looking guy.
He looks like he could be Sam Hartman's dad.
He does. He really does. Look, I'll be honest with you. I was looking at some like old game photos. I don't think because he had a mohawk. I'm like, you don't have a mohawk and become a head coach in the NFL typically, right? That's not the look.
Not typically.
It's not the look they cultivate.
I mean, Belichick may have had one at some point.
Yeah, I can see that, right? There's the guys with reverse mohawks.
Sure.
Right?
You
do the wash,
mm-hmm.
the Ron Washington haircut. But I mean, look, you've mentioned this before. I do think the league is going to go to more player coaches, and you just got to have, but they could be, they're walk-around coaches more often than not.
A lot of times, I mean, some of it is scheme-based.
Dan Campbell's not coaching positions.
Campbell isn't, but, I mean, there are other guys who are. So, I look at it this way. Think just right now, without thinking very much about it, Chop, just start listing off to me the guys that you think of, like, man, that's a great coach. Just start listing off the head coaches currently in the NFL.
Start listing them off?
Just the guys you think really highly of across the NFL. Dan Campbell.
Campbell, former Shanahan. Player. Oh, former players only?
No. Just list them off, and we're going to identify which ones.
Obviously, Campbell, Shanahan.
Shanahan, college player, but not really. Wouldn't count
where
that.
Where did he play? I don't even know.
Texas.
McVay played in college. McDaniel did not.
No.
But I think really highly of him. I think really highly of Raheem Morris.
Former player. Kevin O'Connell, former player. D'Amico Ryans.
I forgot about that.
D'Amico Ryans, former player.
Gerard Mayo. People think highly of him.
People are loving Gerard Mayo. Things have gone sideways a little bit, but people were all in on Antonio Pierce at the end of last year. Former player.
They were.
I think what you're starting
Tomlin.
To see.
Tomlin.
Like we see, you're starting to see players who are, because we would see that in the past, right? Dungy was a great head coach. Dungy was a former player, but it's, a lot of times it felt like the guys who would become coaches and have success with it were role player careers. Maybe they spent a year or two, or they were a special teamer for 3 years and then fell out of the league and got into coaching. D'Amico Ryans was a legitimate player in the NFL.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Had a long career. Ulbrich, if Ulbrich hits, Ulbrich spent a decade in the NFL.
I don't know that I remember him.
That was a bad San Francisco team in the 2000s. And he was
the Jeff Garcia years.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the 49ers the day that T.O. went to the Star. He was out there at that game. I think he was starting for the 49ers at linebacker that day. So Jeff Ulbrich had a long career. D'Amico Ryans, like we talked about. Kevin O'Connell didn't have a storied career, but he was around the league for 5 years as
Mayo
a backup quarterback.
For a while.
Mayo was a really good player. So I do think, and Antonio Pierce was, I remember Antonio Pierce getting under my skin as a Cowboys fan growing up. As a Giants fan, he used to just annoy the hell out of you. And so I do think that in the era of more of these NIL kids who, like we mentioned earlier today, when they become essentially, some of these deals that a junior in high school is getting, not a lot of them, but the very top recruits, the very big names out there, like the biggest names that are out there, when those kids are getting money on top of the table, under the table, when they're getting money and they're living a certain lifestyle, and then they go to these programs and they're making, like Matt Rhule talking about a quarterback making $2 million every year he's at college. He may get to the NFL before he signed his rookie deal. You could be talking about a first-round pick quarterback who's made $7, $8 million before they got to the NFL from high school and college. And that player walking into it naturally is probably going to have some entitlement.
Sure.
And I don't mean that in a bad, just a young player who's been given praise and lots of money. It's easy for anybody's ego to get out of control.
You could be a college quarterback right now.
Mm-hmm.
Senior. Or let's say you're a junior, you got one more year left. So you're in your third year of NIL already.
Yeah.
And then next year get drafted and you walk into an NFL locker room and there's a guy who was drafted in the sixth round. And it's been in the league for 4 years, and you make more money. You've already had more money than them.
Yeah,
you got more money than a 4 year starter in the NFL.
Yeah, and I mean, like Quinn Ewers, for instance.
Player.
Quinn Ewers, I don't know what his exact value is, but I mean, he got $1 million at Ohio State, and then he's been at Texas and had a bunch of. I bet Quinn Ewers is $5 million. I bet he's got plenty in the bank. And so the idea of, man, it's already going to be really difficult to reach these players in all likelihood, because it's like you have no idea what experience I've been through. Or the kind of, like, people have been telling me I'm awesome. People have been willing to throw money at me for years now. I think it's going to trend more and more towards, it's going to be really hard for them to listen to a Bill Belichick. who it's like, not only are you domineering and you're trying to tell me around, you didn't even have the success I did by the time I got to the league. I've been more successful already before I even got here than your career was. Look at all the money I made, did this and that. And I think it's going to be easier if it's coming from Jeff Ulbrich or D'Amico Ryans or one of these guys who went through an NFL career and made their money and can say, yeah, okay, you can't talk that to me, though. I'm telling you how you continue that success at this level because right. I've done it. And I think that's going to be an easier reach at the NFL level. Yeah, and
Belichick
we'll see more of that.
Might be the one guy that can because he's, I mean, nobody's done it more. But you're right. I still think it's more difficult because there's going to be guys coming in the league that were like in eighth grade when Bill last won it.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, Belichick. I don't mean Belichick specifically. I just mean Belichick will be really difficult to establish, I think, into the future. All right. Ezekiel Elliott has not played well, Chop. We know this. We know
he leads a team of carries every week.
We know it's been a little bit of a struggle. So I went through and I found the top 15 running backs that changed teams this offseason as free agents. So this is by cap value, by their cap hit. So I went and found by average salary. When found the highest average salaries, the top 15 players that got paid this offseason at the running back position who changed teams, not re-signed. And I went through and I just looked, okay, let's sort their average salary. Let's look at what their cap hit is. And then let's look at how effective they are. So out of these top 15, Ezekiel Elliott's cap hit in 2024 is the highest in the NFL. Now, it's partially because it's a little bit of funny math. It's the $6 million cap charge that was split from his release the previous year, and then it's the $2 million that he's owed this year. And so it's a $8 million cap charge on him, though, this year. And so some people may say, well, they didn't choose to pay him that. To me, I say they absolutely did because they didn't even entertain a pay cut, and Ezekiel Elliott would have. And so they still cost themselves money. It was still something they chose to put on their books. So that's an $8 million player on your cap this year. That's how we're counting it.
Couldn't afford Derrick Henry.
The next highest paid player in the NFL, Chop, at the running back position out of these top 15, his cap hit this year, is $5.8 million. It's $2.2 million lower than Zeke. It's DeAndre Swift. Now, what's amazing to look at here is that, okay, Zeke, number one in the NFL out of these 15 running backs in terms of cap hit. Let's look at how he does relative to raw numbers and analytics. So out of these 15 backs, Chop, total rushing yards, where do you think Ezekiel Elliott ranks?
In total rushing yards?
Just among these highest 15 paid free agent running backs, where he is the highest paid.
15th.
He is 13th out of 15 with 115 yards. He's just ahead of Gus Edwards and Cordarrelle Patterson. Where do you think he stands in terms of rush yards per attempt? So not raw rush yards, just
15th.
He is 15th out of 15. Okay, well, there we go. Let's look at advanced analytics. We like those, don't we, Chop?
We do.
Rush yards over expectation. That is you're expected on every attempt, you're expected to get a certain amount of yards given down distance, everything like that.
Does that count for the hole that they're given?
Yeah, it does in a lot of them. So where does Ezekiel Elliott rank in terms of rush yards over expectation per attempt out of 15 running backs?
15th.
He is 15th.
By the way, you said his cap hit is what?
$8 million.
You know, the Lions' cap hit of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs combined is $9
million. That sounds about right. EPA, per play efficiency, expected points added. EPA per attempt out of 15 players, out of these 15 running backs, where does Ezekiel
Elliott rank? 15th.
He's not 15th, he's 11th.
Oh, well, okay.
So there you go.
Almost top 10.
He's got it. Now, to your point about which would you prefer as a stat that tells you that guy's playing well, rush yards over expectation or EPA?
I would assume EPA.
Okay, EPA. Let's go with the top ones there on EPA. Who's number one of the free agent running backs that change hands? Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's number one. His cap charge, $3 million less than Ezekiel Elliott's. Well, number two, Austin Eckler.
Okay.
Austin Eckler's hit is $5 million less than Ezekiel Elliott. Next one, Cordarrelle Patterson.
All right.
His is $6 million less
Go balls.
Than Zeke. Aaron Jones. Couldn't pay Aaron Jones,
no,
could you?
Oh, he was tremendous.
No, though. Not a bit. Certainly needed to pay Zeke's cap charge $4.5 million more than Aaron Jones, who's fourth among these 15.
Me and Will Chambers, our biggest fight. Our biggest fight was Aaron Jones.
Just absolutely ridiculous. But to your point, Chop, when you look at the list here, The lowest cap charges, the three lowest, Cordero Patterson, Alex Mattison, J.K. Dobbins, Antonio Gibson, some of these guys that are on the lower end, largely are like near the top in terms of efficiency.
Cool. Yeah, I love to see it. I love to see it. All right, there you go. A little bit of a below
the belt.
The belt here on 105 through the fans. Getting a little baseball. Loaded 9 o'clock hour. Craig Way, voice of the Longhorns at 9:20. John Morosi coming up next here on 105 through the fan.